SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the early line right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, game of the week time here on our show as we go through the week 15 slate in the NFL. And I'm excited about this game. I'm saying something nice about this game. Although, to be fair, perhaps I'll spoil that right away. This is really only game of the week because something had to be game of the week. I don't know if this game will be good at all, but it's an interesting one. Nevertheless, the Baltimore Ravens are a 5.5-point underdog at home to the Green Bay Packers, the total 43.5. Donnie, the story to follow, of course, is whether Lamar Jackson plays this game or not.
Exactly. And also, when you guys watch here the early line, you have to know it's good cop, bad cop a lot of times. You know, Kevin's usually the angry guy, always a little bit surly in the mornings. DRS, the happy-go-lucky guy here and always willing to back the people out here. So let's get back into this game here as we go with the Baltimore Ravens and the Green Bay Packers. It's the Packers to lose, right, Kev? You're looking at this game, even if you had a healthy Lamar Jackson coming into this one, the defense is injured, the offense isn't working correctly here because you have three wide receivers that are very capable, but you can't seem to get the football to them. Huntley last week, dare I say, was a godsend coming into that game after Lamar Jackson went down because he threw the ball close to 40 times and gave them a chance to win. If Lamar Jackson lines up in this game, Kevin, and he's not 100% healthy, meaning the Lamar Jackson we're used to, the blitz is coming down. Let me just escape the pocket. Let me run, 15 times for 75 yards and two scores and also throw two touchdown passes. If we don't get that, they can't win this ball game. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to overcomplicate it here and say, hey, Baltimore plays really well at home. I'm going to be contrarian. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy enough to be the starting quarterback for the Packers, which it looks like he is, I actually don't want to. And here's a question I'm going to ask for you, Kevin. Are you better off with Baltimore if Lamar Jackson starts but is only 50% of his running ability, or do you go with Huntley and just let him sling it, knowing that he probably took a good portion of the snaps in practice and he should be better equipped to handle the game plan as if coming in after Lamar Jackson gets hurt last week?
Usually that question, Don, it would be met with obviously Lamar at any percentage. However, Lamar at 50% due to an ankle injury is not good. Lamar has to be able to run. We know that about Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley's coming off of a game, Donnie. 270 passing yards, completed 70% of his passes, threw a touchdown, didn't turn it over. I feel like Tyler Huntley out there is, look, the best option based under our understanding of where Lamar is. I think that's the case. The interesting thing that I am trying to figure out, though, Donnie, is the when of betting this football game. That's what I'm trying to figure out here, because if they rule Lamar in, right, this 5.5, I think, starts to work its way down. I do not think at any point this number would get below a field goal. I'm not even sure if it would get to a flat 3, but I believe it would work its way down. What I'm trying to figure out, though, is if they officially name Tyler Huntley the quarterback, Donnie, does this number get to Green Bay laying 7? Does it get past a 7, though? Because at the end of the day, Tyler Huntley is still nowhere near Lamar Jackson at his best. And a healthy Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens-led offense, hasn't necessarily been lighting the world on fire over recent weeks. And speaking of great offenses, let's first welcome the radio audience into the fold. We appreciate all those who have tuned into the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside talking about the Ravens-Packers game here, Donnie. I look at this total, and it's 43.5. And I look at the Green Bay Packers last three games, 31 points, 36 points, 45 points scored by Green Bay just alone. All of those games with 60 or more points put on the board. What are you doing with the total in this game?
It's, you know, you bring up a pretty good point here because, you know, I call and I'm going to lose two teams here. I'm going to, and both in the NFC. One is Seattle and one is the Green Bay Packers. And I laughed with Seattle many times. I call it the Seattle shell. If you're willing to go into a game and say, we're going to be all sloppy over here, we're not going to push the pace, Seattle goes, hey, we're so happy to be sloppy with you guys too. Mm-hmm. But if you push the pace and let Russ cook, they get after it. Switch it over again to the Green Bay Packers. How many times, Kevin, do you see where Green Bay knows their opponent and says, I don't think they can score or they can't score anymore at this point? They go into the Aaron Rodgers mode. We're going to have some fun out here. We're going to start this drive on our own 20, and we're going to go three plays and 11 yards exactly multiple times to take 9 minutes off the clock and run this thing out. That's what they do. So if we enter into this football game, Kevin, right away, and you see Lamar Jackson is the starter, you're only going to need one drive to know if it looks like he's hobbled in the pocket, he's going to gut it out, and then that's going to send the signal to the Green Bay Packers. We don't have to do that much. Let's just execute our offense and get the win here. I agree with you. Even though you look at that 43.5 and it's Green Bay, oh my goodness, take the over. Not so fast here. That's going to be predicated on what Baltimore and Lamar Jackson are able to do early in this game for me, Kevin.
And I'll say this right now. If you're a moneyline parlay player, if you're a teaser player, Packers are very enticing. Very enticing. We'll talk about our pick six. But I worry about spots like this where it all looks a little bit too easy there. The reason, though, why I want to trust Green Bay is they have to win the game. Because, again, if the Bucs lose any more games, it'll be very surprising. And that one seed is tremendously valuable when you're the Packers and you have no losses at Lambeau this year and you're trying to hold off the Bucs with no losses at Raymond James this season. Fascinating games. Let's talk about those Bucs. They're playing Sunday Night Football. That's next year on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bucks Saints. Sunday Night Football. And the Tampa Bay Bucs are an 11-point favorite. The total is 46.5. These teams already met once this season, and it certainly did not go Tampa Bay's way. For the Bucs turning the football over, Jameis Winston playing in the beginning of the game. All of a sudden, Trevor Siemian comes in and played so well, the Saints thought he was the answer at the quarterback position for a month, even though he wasn't, because they proceeded to then lose five games in a row. They snapped that losing streak, though, against the Jets. That's a team you go out there and you get right against. It's no longer Trevor Siemian at quarterback, though. It is Taysom Hill, Donnie, here, taking the stage against Tom Brady. Can the Bucs cover a double-digit spread in prime time?
I think they can, but I don't think I'm going to be betting that. And the reason here, hear me out on this, because you take a look at Tampa Bay, right? And the narrative on the season for them is you can't run the football. They stop the football, you know, running games, you know, you're going to have to pass against it. That's not really what the Saints do, right? They don't want to pass the football, not great wide receivers, average a tight end. You got a quarterback who's more gifted running the football than throwing the football. So say, okay, it should be an easy victory for Tampa Bay. But sometimes, Kevin, you have to change that narrative a little bit. Let's take a five-game snapshot here and take a look at that defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on stopping the run. Versus the Washington football team, which they lost 29-19. They actually did stop the run there, 2.8 yards per carry. But take a look at the next four games, which are all wins here by the Bucs. 5.1 yards per carry on the ground versus the Giants. 5.4 yards per carry on the ground against the Colts. 5.3 yards per carry against Atlanta. 9.1 yards per carry from the Buffalo Bills. So if you're feeding into a narrative that you can't run the ball, you have to pass it, that's not the case, Kevin, over the past month here for the Buccaneers. So maybe Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara can control the ground game here. But more importantly, forget about covering the line itself. It's hard to look at a Tom Brady team for me and say it's 46.5. How do you stay under? Because it's seemingly like Tampa Bay at home, they're destined for 30 points. But I think the pathway to victory for the game, if you are the Saints, Kevin, it's not going in with Sean Payton and say, hey, you know what's going to be awesome in this game? 50 passes out of Taysom Hill, we're really going to show Tampa Bay. I think it's going to be to lean on your defense, which is pretty good, lean on your running game, see if you can hang around enough into the fourth quarter to keep it within striking distance. Dare I say, leaning a little bit more towards the under in this football game than actually laying the 12.5 points.
There's like a month in a row where Donnie, I believe, ends up liking the under in a game that I am going to line up for the alt over in my pick six. And, it's pretty easy to sell me on the idea that Donnie isn't looking that far down the rundown. He certainly laid the foundation for that. But at some point, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. This has gotten out of hand here. Here's the deal. The Bucs average over 35 points per game at home this season. The Bucs are going to score 30. That's going to happen. Saints aren't going to rely on any type of respectable defense here. This is not Zach Wilson. This is Tom Brady at home. This is a team that has consistently delivered the goods in this spot here, and I think they'll do that just again. So if this is going to be a team that I think scores 30, will the Saints be able to give you 17? Yes. They're going to be able to give you more than 17, I believe, as Alvin Kamara entered last week. It was tremendous to watch Kamara against the Jets. Again, the Jets are terrible, truly, truly awful. But it was Kamara's first week back. It's like, ooh, maybe they're going to temper the load here a little bit for Kamara. Nope, 27 carries, 120 on the ground, and a touchdown. Kamara's had success against this defense before. Taysom Hill is going to make enough plays with his legs and through the air. I think this game will get into the 50s. In fact, Donnie, I don't agree with you. That, I mean, it's as simple as that. I think the side's a little more interesting because of my conviction on this total. Tampa Bay has been a tremendous double-digit favorite this season. At home, in fact, they've covered with, I think, all but the opening game of the season against the Dallas Cowboys. It is. Can the Saints do enough to keep this, though, within the double digits? We know Brady doesn't have a tremendous ATS record in prime time since joining Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think they can keep it close. I do. And if anybody out here, you know, watches the show and says, you know, sometimes DRS is a little bit of a menace here because you know he's just going to play devil's advocate against Kevin's totals. Keep in mind, I forget what my own pick six contest picks are, let alone somebody else's picks. And if you want to rewind, just case in point, last week, the Friday show, as I was talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and I lost my page on the script and had to fumble around for about 15 or 20 seconds to realize what I actually had in that game. Mm-hmm. So it might sound good to play devil's advocate, but trust me, I'm not doing that. Yeah. But in this game, I do think there's a pathway for New Orleans to keep this game close by running the football and playing good defense. I think they can hang around. Will I bet the side? Probably not. But again, I do lean towards the total, and not because Kevin loves the over in this game.
It's like a month running now. It's like every week. Like last week, I was lined up like, oh, I like the Lions game under. Don's like, psh, this game's explosive. Denver's going to score a million. And he was bang right about that too, which obviously credit to him. Let me ask you this last question, Donnie. Are you going to bet each team for a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown here in Bucs Saints?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I think you have to. Like, it's funny because you say to yourself, Kevin, like, you want to get the really good quarterbacks, you throw it. And then I find myself on, like, Sunday Night Football going, man, sign me up for the young kid, Justin Fields. Yeah, exactly. Yep, now I'm doing it again. Probably. Yep.
Yeah. It's a good one, though, because I want us to try and use our powers. We always use them during the prime time, you know, Mondays and Thursday games to get the stuff we want boosted. But I think also Brady passing touchdown each half at home. Yeah, we'll do that as well.
Like minus 130. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last night, the 504 minus 120 or on Thursday night, I should say. And I mean, it ended up cruising after looking like a terrible bet. Should have bet the 550 and 5, nevertheless. Let's talk about it. Cardinals-Lions. Oh, I love this game. Let me set the stage right now. I'm going to be honest with people, all right? We're getting closer and closer to doing the pick six. For the first time, I ruined the pick six. It was my fault that it didn't hit. And it has broke me. I mean that. I was up last night running around my house trying to figure out what I needed to do to get the right teaser spot. And last week I had the Raiders at 16. They tried to give me 15.5 because they're always messing with me behind the scenes. I wanted to take the Detroit Lions plus 17.5, but I couldn't ruin the pick six with another terrible team getting a ton of points. Donnie, the Cardinals and the Lions. Arizona, though, is an 11.5 point favorite. It's a 47.5 total. What do you think of this game?
I mean, honestly, like Arizona really should blow the doors off of Detroit here. Yes. I mean, they really should actually do that. Now, here's the case in point in this game is, you know, Hockenson's down for the year. That's their tight end. They have nothing on offense. And you saw them last week. The joke was, oh, my goodness, they're going on the road to Denver. This is a huge letdown spot for a team with one win because they were so shocked the week before that they beat the Minnesota Vikings, which is astounding as is. Both Kevin and myself have under 1.5 tickets here on the Detroit Lions. They shouldn't win again. They're not a good football team. They're not a talented football team. So even though you have DeAndre Hopkins not going to play probably for the rest of the year here for the Cardinals, I don't see any way, shape, or form that this Detroit team even slows down Arizona. If they want to pass, they'll pass. If they want to run, they'll run. They'll have a decent enough pass rush to really confuse Jared Goff on the opposite side. You usually say to yourself, I don't want to lay double digits on the road. And also in one of those games where you think Arizona's coming into this game all hyped up after a big-time loss on Monday Night Football where they know they had everything they wanted in the world if they just beat the Rams and they weren't able to do it. So I look towards this game. Arizona should win this in a blowout, Kevin.
Here's the interesting trends. Arizona on the road, 7-0. Straight up against the spread and their team total over. Kyler Murray on the road this season with the Cardinals in five games, averaging 35.2 points per game. However, the Lions, off of getting absolutely smoked by the Denver Broncos, the Detroit Lions have not been able have been able to cover at least once every other week. I'm not saying this correctly. They have yet to not cover in consecutive weeks. There you go. That's all I'm trying to say that. So the Lions off of a non-cover might be able to come back here and get the job done. I'll tell you what it'll also be. We're going to come back here and there's going to be a new producer on the early line. All right? Because this guy, Brian, is absolutely has my blood boiling here on an early morning. I'll be back. I think Donnie will be back. Brian will not be. Come back, though. My goodness.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Keep things moving here on the early line. Just finished up Lions Cardinals. Tremendous breakdown of that game. Another game, though, that has really been impacted by COVID. The Los Angeles Rams. I don't even know if they have a starting lineup here going into this game. And they're still a 4-point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. The total for this one, Donnie, is 44.5. Are you surprised that the Rams have still been able to stay so comfortably above the field goal mark here with all these COVID issues they're having?
Yeah, I'm guessing people are just watching and saying, you know, as long as you have your offensive line somewhat intact, Matthew Stafford healthy, and Cooper Kupp, you should be able to move the football because Sean McVay can make magic happen. And you have primarily that defensive line still able to get after it. At least you have Aaron Donald in the lineup. That makes a lot of sense. But also, let's keep in mind some of the anticipation, Kevin, coming back because the COVID protocols, we don't get to see day to day. Like, there's no report that comes like, hey, Ramsey came in on Monday. He tested positive. Tuesday positive. Wednesday negative. Thursday negative. He's back on Friday. Mm-hmm. Because here's what you're maybe anticipating, what you're looking into. If you know the timelines, which, you know, guys that are making lines here, you have a semblance of, okay, this is going to make sense. What if I told you, like, hey, Von Miller's going to test and come back and be in this football game? Or if you said, like, maybe Odell Beckham Jr., tested negative back-to-back days and he's back in, or even Jalen Ramsey. That could be a little bit of a boost here for the Rams, but you're right. It's kind of interesting that a team so COVID-ridden, you know, the MO is usually their line runs so far away from the team that has more of the COVID issues. When you're taking a look at Seattle, the only issue they really have, and it's a big one, Tyler Lockett, probably going to miss this game. But also, when I read that Dan Graziano tweet a little bit earlier, if he continues to test and test negative one time, he can be activated tomorrow and play on Sunday. So this time that we talk about and try to say, you know, how do you handicap these games? When's the right time to get in? Sometimes you just have to sit back and wait till closer to game day and even the inactives report, Kevin, to see what's going to happen. But I got to tell you, if you give me 4 points here, that's listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook 44.5. If Seattle has everybody but Tyler Lockett, they can hang around in this football game, and I think they will.
This is what I'm trying to figure out, right? Is Russ back? The Texans is not necessarily your best barometer for back, Donnie. And like you, I mean, look, you had a Seattle team total last week, so you could probably say better than me how impressed you were with what the Seahawks put forward in that game. I mean, anytime you score 33 on an NFL team, obviously that's good. Rashad Penny, you know, breaking a 47-yard rushing touchdown in the back end of the game and a 32-yard rushing touchdown in the first quarter of that game, though. Maybe not the most sustainable offense that I've ever seen from the Seattle Seahawks here. Of course, the Rams' issues, though, are tremendously difficult to quantify. The Rams, though, are playing much better football over their last couple of weeks here. Their offense feels a little bit more consistent. I would like to think that you can play the over of 44.5 with the trust that the Rams should move it. And as you talked about earlier in the show, if Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are forced to wake up, they do. And they've also had some of that kind of positive over-regression that a team just typically has to have, Donnie. I think it was like 11 or 12 weeks into the season, this team had only mustered up one over on the entire year. They've now gone out there and played two straight overs their last 2 weeks of football.
You're looking at Seattle here. Let's try to say, all right, what do we get out of Russell Wilson? Because he gets the injury and comes back and plays against maybe a week or two early, you could say now, against the Green Bay Packers. And you're saying, it's like, who's trading for this guy in the offseason? He looks washed. He looks like he can't play football anymore. The next week, ooh, he still doesn't look good. Doesn't look like he moves around. I got to tell you, for the first time since he's come back against the Houston in the Houston Texans game, he looks really good. And I'm talking about like not just getting out of the way and, you know, running for first downs. The plays that you expect out of Russell Wilson with the arm, roll out of the pocket, buy time, throw a 50-yard laser beam downfield to Tyler Lockett. But as I said that, it was to Tyler Lockett. The guy's wide open every single play. And if he's not there, now you just focused all your attention on a banged-up DK Metcalf. That could make a difference. And yes, you know, Jalen Ramsey can still be activated and come back for this game. So let's just say, Kevin, devil's advocate, and you say, okay, let's take a look at Seattle. They're going to come in relatively healthy here, but Tyler Lockett is not going to play. He's not going to test back in from the COVID protocols. But DK Metcalf is going to play, but also Jalen Ramsey is going to be back where he can shadow DK Metcalf. This game gets a lot tougher here because you're not just going to hand the football off to Penny and say, I'm going to make hay here. I'm going to get 150 yards on the ground out of Penny. That's not going to be the case in this game. So if you're looking from a Ben perspective, the best results and the best answers I can give you right now, give this a day. Give this 24 hours. Give this 48 hours until they kick off. Because if you get an idea of exactly who's in, you know, Lockett comes back on offense, no Ramsey, I'm looking towards Seattle in this game. Not that I say I like them or even think they're going to win the football game, but over the past 2 weeks, they've shown that Pete Carroll still has the locker room and Russell Wilson is getting healthier. 4 points in this game with a COVID outbreak on the Rams that doesn't get better. Only way I can go here again, Kevin, look towards the Seahawks.
Here's the thing then, Donnie, right? If you like a team plus four, that means they have a chance to win the game. And I think Seattle does have a chance to win this game. And if they win this game, they'll be at 6-8, and their next two games will be home against the Bears and the Lions. And that would be, all of a sudden, an 8-8 football team. They would have won five consecutive games. The Seahawks are 24-1 to make the playoffs. We talk about hedge opportunities and big bomb numbers. They're actually 14-1 to be a wild card team. Talk about it sometimes here, there's just kind of mispriced in different markets that mean the same thing. Obviously, you bet the 24-1 on Seattle, Donnie. If I guarantee you the Seahawks are going to win this game, you kind of have to bet the Seattle Seahawks then at 24-1 to make the playoffs, don't you?
Yeah, you do, because these are the games that you're expecting them. Because in the last two games, I actually thought they were going to beat the 49ers, and I was right on that. And, of course, I thought they were going to beat the Texans. I bet a team total. Also, Russell Wilson over 1.5 touchdown passes. They both cashed. But this is one of the games where you look towards and say, okay, Pete Carroll can have their ear if they beat the 49ers for a game because they're playing the Texans, and it's not easy to say, or, you know, hard to be like, hey, guys, we still have a chance. Yeah, we'll win this week and see what happens. This was the game where they were supposed to run up against that immovable object that was the Rams coming in healthy after their victory against the Arizona Cardinals. But now, again, you're seeing in the locker room for Seattle where maybe they thought, oh, we've got to go on the road. This is where our season ends. Hey, guys, that team has COVID. We can win again. Let's see if we can play this out. I like the situation that Seattle is in where they're still going to be up for this game, and I think they can keep it close with the COVID.
And we talk as well about how things are supposed to move kind of around them, right? They're 5-8. So are the Panthers. Double-digit dog. The Saints are 6-7. Double-digit dog. Atlanta, we're going to talk about their game in a minute. An underdog. One of the Eagles or the Washington football team is set to lose. The Seahawks would be much better off if the Eagles win that game because of their straight-up loss. with Washington. Minnesota, look, they're going to stay right there, but we also, like, can all just agree they're going to find a way to lose to the Bears once. Like, you know that that's going to happen here. It's why I can't take Minnesota too serious, it feels like, in this market overall. But let's talk about that game featuring the Atlanta Falcons. They're playing a team in the San Francisco 49ers, Donnie, who have now found themselves as pretty considerable favorites to make the postseason. A minus 370 for the yes, if you were betting in that market there, which is understandable as they're 7-6. The schedule lines up kind enough, and they should be a playoff team here. But things maybe get a little more interesting if they find themselves upset by the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think that's going to happen, though. A 9.5-point spread here, Donnie. What do you think of this game?
I know, I got excited right there. That's how excited I was for the game. Tried to cut you off there, so I get a couple extra minutes here to try to break this one down. But looking at this overall, San Francisco's the better football team, absolutely. But if you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, I don't think it warrants, Kevin, a 9.5-point favorite. Now, if we zero back maybe a month and a half ago and, you know, the 49ers were extremely healthy, the Atlanta Falcons, you know, not so healthy and just wandering around. But let's also keep in mind, they're playing decent football here as of late. Last two of three games here, right? They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, which isn't saying much, but it's still a victory here. You lose to Tampa Bay 30-17, which they were in that game. And then you go out and beat the Carolina Panthers 29-21. I think you can get a similar circumstance in this game because it seems like as long as you have Cordarrelle Patterson here at running back / wide receiver, the offense can move the football. And it's not so much about style points here for the San Francisco 49ers because, again, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo throws you to victory. Now, do they have an offense and can be at home and be explosive at times? Deebo Samuel getting healthier, George Kittle coming into his own again this year. I just don't see it as a blowout victory. I would be surprised if, let's just say, the San Francisco 49ers are up 24-3 in this game. And if they're not, you have a legitimate chance to cover. You're looking at roughly double digits here. I think Atlanta can be competent enough to hang around and cover this line out in San Francisco, Kev.
Is there a world, Donnie, where they throw a number out there to protect themselves from teasers like on the Niners here? I agree with you. The 9.5 feels tremendously strong, right? Like, and at 7.5, you accomplish a similar thing. Even at a flat 7, Atlanta's coming off of a win. I mean, is that just like full confidence that this Falcons team is not going to string together consecutive victories here? Which, I mean, fair enough. I don't think they will either, but they got the job done at least against the Panthers. They had moments of competitiveness against the Bucs. They beat the Jags, although that's not really much to write home about here overall. I am similarly to you puzzled by how big this number feels because the Niners aren't coming off of a dominant game or anything of the sort, Donnie, against the Cincinnati Bengals. They were up big at one point in the game, but all of a sudden that thing went to overtime. A tremendous job by them having that, you know, walk-off touchdown after allowing the Bengals to get a field goal on the opening drive of overtime here. I think the game will end up going over the 46, though. You look at the Falcons, and I don't think they're going to score a ton. And if I think one team, Donnie, is going to struggle to move the ball against the Niners, then I usually like under because the Niners are going to run the ball, feels like, 100 times if they have their way.
No, it certainly does. And you bring up a good point there also the previous week. Not only do you go to overtime, Kevin, you go to overtime all the way to the end of overtime on the road and fly back home. So maybe we'll see a little bit of a lag here coming from the San Francisco 49ers. But I do think Atlanta can keep this within the number.
We have two more games to break down as well as our pick six for you, week 15. One of those games, Urban Meyer, no longer with the Jaguars. How will they respond without Urban? We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pick six is on deck, but first, two more games to talk about here from this week 15 slate. That'll be taking place on Sunday. Donnie, the Jags take the field without Urban Meyer for the first time this season. And the spread suggests that Urban Meyer was perhaps holding this team back a little bit. The Jags are now a 5-point favorite. The total, a horrific 39.5. Your thoughts on the Jacksonville Jaguars era that starts without Urban Meyer.
Now, here's the point I want to make to the people out here, right? Like, you know, a lot of people are just public bettors, you know, some sharp bettors out here, and you play this out. You're telling me that this football team that is horrendous. Now, both of them are technically are horrendous here, but I'm talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Five-game snapshot here. 17 points scored, 10 points, 14, 7, and 0. They had 8 yards rushing last week and 184 in the air. The week before that, 61 on the ground and 136 in the air. They fired their head coach, and you're led me to believe that they should not only be favored in this game, but now approaching a touchdown when they struggle, people, to score a touchdown. And what if I would have told you before the season, say, hey, man, Trevor Lawrence, legitimate quarterback, probably going to be rookie of the year. He's going to dominate. The Jaguars are going to win 5-6 games, and he's going to get legitimate looks here for being rookie of the year and saying, look at the future of this franchise. It's so bright. My goodness, what Urban Meyer did here. And then if I would have told you, there's this guy named Davis Mills that got drafted here for the Houston Texans. Who? Where? Where'd he even come from? And coming into this game, he is the better NFL quarterback. Yes, I said it as of right. In the future, no, not going to be the case. But coming in today, how about this? Trevor Lawrence can't get out of his own way. Barely throws. What did he do? Throw for 300 yards one time, and it was opening day, and he threw 3 interceptions there against a Texans team that already beat them? So what actually flipped over here that other than Urban Meyer has been let go, Trevor Lawrence has been a disaster, and Davis Mills, his last two starts, has thrown for over 300 yards in both of those games, 3 touchdowns combined, and 1 interception. I cannot believe the Jacksonville Jaguars are favored anything more than 1, maybe 2 points in this game. And the fact that people are like, yeah, Urban's out of town, now they're going to play well. Do you understand how professional athletes work here? As long as the paycheck hits the bank account, that's when they cheer. Do you think those guys in the locker room, oh, I'm so happy that, no, you still have to put out good tape and be a professional week in and week out, whether you like your coach or not. The fact that this line is moving because their coach got fired is hilarious, Kevin.
It speaks volumes to how Urban Meyer was perceived by everybody, Donnie. And I will say, I think there is a real chance, though, that that locker room is a little more excited for this week's game with Urban out. With that being said, I'm not desperate to lay 5 here with the Jags. I'm not throwing the Jags as a portion of a money line parlay. What I am fascinated by, though, is the total of this game. See that 39.5 there? This isn't COVID related. This isn't the Browns Raiders. This is the 2 worst offenses in the NFL, bar none, going head-to-head. They played week 1 in the NFL, 37-21. Probably still Trevor Lawrence's best game of his career. Since then, well, it's been a lot of unders for these teams. You have the Texans, who have played 5 of their 6 road games to the under. Some of their road outputs, 0 against the Bills, 5 against the Cardinals, 3 against the Colts, 9 against the Dolphins. They don't ever move the football on the road, especially the last 2 weeks here for this team. They were shut out by the Colts and put up 13 against a bad Seattle defense. The Jags, I mean, we've gone over this a lot. They were also shut out last week. The week before that, oh, a great job. They scored 7 in one of their 2 victories this season. It was a game that they had 0 touchdowns in. I don't really know how this game is supposed to feature points whatsoever, other than it'll find a way. And we talked, though, about, Donnie, sometimes those are the spots on the board, right, where this game is built to make no sense. You're going to turn into this game, and for some reason, it's going to be 17-17 at the half. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it will. Brandon Cooks will score a 70-yard touchdown, and James Robinson will break off a 60-yard run. And all of a sudden, you're sat there going, what is happening? But that's oddly how I feel like this game is going to go. Every trend I give you, Donnie, says under, and yet I'm looking at this game, and I feel like it's going to be a wild one.
No, and you're right, because you have 2 teams, you know, new coaching staff on one side, technically for Jacksonville, trying to impress Shai Khan. Hey, I could be the head coach here, Darryl Bevell. You're not going to be the head coach, Darryl Bevell, but go out and have some fun this weekend and fake some punts and energize the situation. But looking from a Houston perspective here, I think you're right. Their team total sits at 16.5. they're going to get 17 points. They are. Because the one thing I know, and I used it last week, Kevin, which is why I like the team total for the Seattle Seahawks. I said, well, why would you use something different for another team or for another? Because the evaluation period here is on your quarterback, Davis Mills. They allowed him to throw the football a lot last week, and he looked good doing it here. Now, did they get blown out because they stink? Absolutely. But at the same time, the same game plan is going to be put in. Houston is not looking at this game going, let's see if we can grind out a victory against Jacksonville. They're saying, can Davis Mills progress and maybe have another 300-yard week in the air? He's going to throw it a lot. And by default, their running back situation, Johnson, COVID-19, Rex Burkhead injured and out this weekend. I don't know, Royce Freeman will get some carries here. They're going to throw it a lot. I think they get to the 17 points. And I do think you're right. Funny as it is, both of these teams stink, but sometimes the two bad teams get together. Yeah. They can get over 39.5 points in an NFL game. It's going to be a wild one here. It's kind of funny that I'm more energized about this game than more than 90% of the card here on Sunday afternoon.
If you bet the team total over last week for the Texans, that's one of those, like, you start calling people and asking where the refunds are. I mean, they scored a touchdown on their opening drive. Two drives later, they had a touchdown taken off the board. They had 13 points at the half. And just get left on zero. The game ends with Davis Mills in a 3-yard scramble at the Seattle 14. It's just a true nightmare. You thought that was a barn burner. How excited is everybody for Jets Dolphins? I know I am. No, I'm not. Miami's a 9.5 point favorite. The total of this game is 41. All I care about is the weekly special where these it's plus 300 for both teams to score a touchdown in each half. It's like all I care. Here's the other thing, though, to be fair, Donnie, right? We're talking about all these teams that may or may not be in the mix of postseason races here. The Miami Dolphins, who did this tremendous tank job accidentally to get the Eagles what I thought was going to be a top five pick, all of a sudden, one of the hottest teams in the NFL. They won 5 consecutive games. It's tremendously annoying, and they should win their 6th here in a row and find themselves 7-7.
Does this game scream, though, Kevin? You take a look at the over-under here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a 41. It's got to stay under, right? Because you take a look at what you like out of the Miami Dolphins. Hey, Jalen Waddle's really coming on. He's not even going to play in this game due to testing positive for COVID-19, or unless he tests out, I don't know, his vaccination status at this point here. But you're right. 5-game snapshot here for the Dolphins. Take a look at the defense. This is similar to what we're looking at, saying, like, where did this defense come from as if the Kansas City Chiefs before last night? 9 points to Houston. 10 points to Baltimore, 17 to the Jets, 10 to Carolina, 9 to the Giants. Now, all of those teams, not exactly explosive on offense, so that's what you're supposed to do. But then again, the Jets are least explosive as just some of, you know, Jacksonville, same thing. Houston, same thing. Jets, same thing. The Jets don't even have any healthy wide receivers basically coming into this game. It's got to stay under the total, right?
Yeah, I think so. Look, Miami has covered 6 in a row, Donnie, right? And we talk about the 5-game win streak. The Jets have been terrible, terrible on the road. They've won only 1 game. It was their only cover of the season here. If you look as well during this 6-game cover streak for the Dolphins, it's been 5 unders, and the only over was a total at 40.5, and it was a 33-10 victory against the Carolina Panthers. Like, again, you want to talk about a team total under, it's a low number. Like, Donnie, I know you like the pain totals. You got enough pain potentially if you get involved with the Texans. I don't think you should be getting involved with the Jets here in this game. It's going to be an interesting one to follow. It is pick 6 time, though, here for week 15. If you're new to the pick 6, touchdown score, money line dog, under, alt line, yards prop, teaser game. We're on the back of a really fun week 14 pick 6. It was the first time that I blew up the teaser spot, which is upsetting, but overall, through 14 weeks, there's only been 3 losing weeks. 1 week we both missed. I messed up one. Donnie's messed up one. I expect a full bounce back. Also, Donnie hit the most impressive, I think, money line dog of the season, because I know Donnie doesn't look towards Monday Night Football as a money line dog. So I know the only money line dog that hit on the Sunday was Donnie's money line dog, which is tremendous action here overall. Let's make it happen here, DRS. Start us off. Your pick 6 for week 15.
Yep, pick six contest where, you know, Kevin and I root for each other generally here. The only one we don't root for, which is odd because we want to win money, but we don't mind if we lose money, if we lose a teaser and it happens on the other guy's dime, which Kevin did. Now, outside of a, you know, questionable cheering against me over the summer on a Chris Sale odds boost from the FanDuel Sportsbook, we've been pretty even keel here about rooting each other on. So let's get into the pick six contest here. Touchdown score for this week, San Francisco. I don't really particularly like the Arizona Falcons defense all that much. Deebo Samuel getting healthy. I'm going to go with a touchdown score prop here for Deebo Samuel. Anytime touchdown, he's going to get in the end zone. He can either run it in or obviously catch a pass. He can't throw it in, but he might be able to do that this weekend as well. Moneyline dog for me. We just talked through the game. The Texans, plus 184. I have no idea why the Jacksonville Jaguars are favored in this game. This is a coin flip, and if you're going to give me a plus 184 price, I think the Texans can be competitive in this game with a chance to win it at the end. Give me that one. The under. Panthers and the Bills. If we take a look again, Josh Allen a little bit banged up with his foot here. Cold, windy conditions. Just looking to get a W under your belt and a terrible offense coming to town here with the Carolina Panthers. That game stays under the 45. My alt total here, the Bengals and the Broncos over 49.5 at a plus 175. So if we get 50 points or more in this game, it's going to cash in. Teddy Bridgewater, please push the football down the field. Joe Burrow, I'm banking on your pinky finger being even more healthy than last week. Both of these teams should be in the 20s, which gives you an honest chance of getting more than 50 points in this game. We'll take that at the plus 175 price. And also, can't get enough of this. If I think the moneyline dog is going to be the Texans at a plus 184, I'm going to double down here with Davis Mills passing yards here in this game. The evaluation period has begun. Last two starts for Davis Mills, over 300 yards. Whatever that number appears at, as long as it's solid, I don't know, 225 yards in that range, 235 I'm anticipating here. I think it goes over that number in this game. And also, my teaser game, the Pittsburgh Steelers going to get the 7 points at home. I think this game's a lower scoring game for me. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers can hang around and win this game. I'll take the 7 right now, and that's good. So I don't want to run the clock out too much longer. If you guys want me to, I can do it, KW. I can do it.
Yeah, he certainly could, but I have a couple things I need to address. One, you said Arizona Falcons. That's a massive win just for my day overall.
No,
two,
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. The only reason I rooted against the Chris Sale boost is because it at the time was like minus 3,000 and I was salty. I didn't get involved with it. And then it lost and then I felt really, really bad. But hand up, that's on me. Let's talk pick six here. Anytime touchdown score, Kyler Murray. He's hit it in 3 of the 5 road games he's played. They're going to score 30-plus points against the Lions. He gets into the end zone. Moneyline dog, the Bengals, plus 130. Too enticing not to pass up a 4-2 road record here. I don't believe in the Broncos enough. Under in that game with the Arizona Falcons. And the Niners at 46. I just don't trust the Falcons to move the ball whatsoever. Alt line. Eventually, Donnie will basically be pseudo-betting this with all his game specials. Over 50.5, plus 140. Saints. Bucks. Yards prop. Trevor Lawrence threw for over 300 yards against the Texans. He'll do it again. Packers plus 0.5 point teaser game. That's the pick six. Donnie closes out the show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the week, right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the grid. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh getting you ready for the morning after coming up with Ben Stevens. It's been an action-packed week, an entertaining football game last night. So as always, listen up. Quiet. All right, people, listen up here. Let's talk NFL football from Thursday night. And it's live by fourth down, die by fourth down, which sometimes you equate to the NBA, right? Live by the three-point shot, you die by the three-point shot. But last night, you take a look at Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers. I love the mindset here. Field goals don't win football games. But last night, they probably would have. Case in point, you had a few fourth down conversions for the Chargers that went empty. That could have stacked points. And if you remember last night heading into overtime, yeah, you need a tie game to get to overtime. So 9 points left on the board by the Chargers for going for it. So if you're just looking at a one-game capsule, he made all the wrong decisions. Why? Because if you kicked the field goals, you probably would have won the football game. But also taking a look just weeks ago when that same Chargers team went in to play the Chiefs, and as always, you do not win by kicking field goals in Kansas City and being able to beat the Chiefs. They didn't do that, and they went for it on fourth downs, and they won that football game. More importantly here for us is the mindset of the Chargers organization here. If you know your coach implicitly trusts you on offense, that gives you the confidence to succeed more times than not. So last night, not kicking the field goals didn't work out and probably cost the Chargers the game. But overall, the philosophy of the organization is correct. If you stay aggressive on offense, just like Frank Reich and the Colts do, if you use analytics to your advantage where more times than not, you're going to convert those field goals into touchdowns, that's what makes the most sense here. I'm not mad last night at Staley because they lost for the Chargers. I like the process here that we're moving forward with. More field goals equals more losses in the future. More touchdowns equals more victories. Thank you guys for joining us here this week on The Early Line. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. We love bringing you all this content, but stay tuned for more with Ben Stevens and The Morning After.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.